His honor and glory. I want to take my text today from the 11th chapter of the book of Proverbs. In verses 31 and 32, I especially want to emphasize the latter part of verse 31. But that verse reads like this: "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner." So I'd like to use as my subject title for today, "He that winneth souls is wise." He that winneth souls is wise. The Lord Jesus, He came into this world to save sinners. That was His purpose in coming into the world. He not only touched and healed people while He was living here in the world, but He saved many souls. But He continued to save souls even after He went back to heaven, because He is the only means of salvation for anyone. No other name given whereby men may be saved. The name of Jesus. So He established His church and He left it here in the world. And He commissioned it to go and teach all nations, make disciples in every nation, baptize them who had been converted, who had been saved, and then teach them to observe the things that He had spoken unto them. And so we have, as a church, we have a responsibility to continue to try to reach lost souls. Now, my text said the fruit of the righteous, and I understand that to be the works of the righteous, those who have been saved. And as we go into the vineyard and we work for the Lord Jesus, the results of the works that we do, He says, is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The next verse there said, "Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth." Our labors are never in vain in the Lord. You know, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the last verse, the Apostle Paul, after describing what would happen to our bodies, you know, he said, "I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye. And this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. And then will be brought to pass the saying that is written, that death is swallowed up in victory." And he ended up that chapter by saying, "Wherefore, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So the fruit of the righteous, the works of the righteous, what we do for the Lord Jesus, our efforts to support the work of the Lord, and our efforts to reach lost people, it's not in vain. There's a purpose for it. And he said in this 31st verse that the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. And that word recompense there, it has reference to being blessed. It has reference to being rewarded in the earth. You know, we're going to go to heaven one of these days, and we will be rewarded. You know, there the Lord Jesus is coming, and his reward is with him to give to every man as his work shall be. But the Lord blesses us here in the earth while we're still living and while we're working in the vineyard of the Lord. He blesses us and he recompenses us. He makes it worthwhile for us to work and labor in the vineyard of the Lord. And then he said, and much more the wicked. Do you know what the recompense of the wicked is? Another way of saying it is recorded in, I believe it's Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so the recompense of the wicked, you can live your life out and you can, live to be old. But if you die in sin, the reward for your works of sinful living, is going to be death. And it's not just physical death, but it is eternal death. So having said these things, I just want to talk to you for a little while. As we approach our revival, Jesus, I preached on this a couple of weeks ago. Jesus made this statement as he was talking with his disciples. He said, behold, the fields are white unto harvest. And he said, the laborers are few. And he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his vineyard. And we need laborers as we begin this revival meeting. We need workers in the field. Consider this. We want to just call it to your attention. I'm sure every one of you, at some point in your Christian life, you've been admonished, to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord. And I want to encourage you to do that. Now, this lesson that I read in your hearing, it's a very interesting lesson. Jesus had come across the Sea of Galilee, back to Capernaum. And when he got there, these four men came down the road carrying a bed, and in the bed was a man. He had the palsy. He wasn't able to walk. He couldn't walk up to the place where Jesus was preaching and teaching. And so they just picked up his bed, and they brought him to the place where Jesus was. It's very interesting to me, down in verse 8, the Bible said, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now, I think they probably were having reference to Jesus. He was a man, and he had said to that man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And some of the people criticized him. They said only God can forgive sin. But Jesus is God. And Jesus said, would it have been easier for me to have said, rise, take up your bed and walk, or say, thy sins forgiven thee? The Lord Jesus, whatever he commanded took place. He would say to the wind, cease, and the wind would cease. He would say to the roaring sea, peace be still, and it would be still. He would say to a withered hand, be thou whole, and it would become whole, He could say to blinded eyes, see, and the blind could see. Whatever he commanded took place. And so he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. He knew that sin was his problem. Sin is the reason for all of our problems. Did you know it? Sin is the blame for all sorrow. We used to sing that song when I was a child, back at the church that we attended. Sin is the blame for all sorrow. Sin is the blame. And it is, if there had been no sin, we would not have had any sickness. We would not have had any disease. We would not have had cripples. We would not have had all of these things that we're facing in our world today. Sin is the blame. And Jesus knew that sin was ultimately the blame for this man's condition. And so he said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. They criticized him. And Jesus said, it's no harder for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, than it is to say, rise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, I say unto thee, rise and take up thy bed and walk. And the Bible said that he got up and he took up his bed and he walked. And the multitude was astonished at that. They marveled and glorified God that God had given such power unto men. Now, the point I want to make in that, we all know Jesus had the power. But do you know what? Those four men had the power too. Those four men had the power to pick that man up and to take him to Jesus. If they hadn't done that, he wouldn't have got there because he couldn't walk. Do you know there are people today that we can influence, and there are people that we can help to get to Jesus? I truly believe that. I believe the Lord has left us here in this world for a purpose, and that is to help other people get right with God. And so we need to remember that and need to try to do that. You know, the Bible, it tells us in the book of Daniel, it tells us about the great resurrection that's going to take place in the third verse from the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. And it says that many that sleep in the earth on that day are going to rise, you know. And it tells us that they're not only going to rise, they're going to shine. They're going to shine. They're going to stand out in some way. Now, I don't know how to describe it, but they're going to stand out in some way because they have turned many to righteousness. They have been used of God to cause people to come to the Lord Jesus and get saved. And he said, and they're going to shine as the stars forever and ever. They're not just going to shine when they come out of the ground. For all eternity, they're going to shine because they have been instrumental in helping people find the Lord. And I believe today that you and I can be instrumental in reaching lost people. I believe that God has so fixed it that we have the power. You know, Jesus, he expects us to be witnesses. He said, ye are my witnesses. I want you to go in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I want you to be a witness for me. I want you to tell people what I can do for them and that I can help them. And you know, sometimes we have to go get them and we have to bring them to the Lord. There are references in the Bible to where that took place. I read in the 5th chapter of the book of Luke. Well, let me back up. The 4th chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. And that marked the beginning of his ministry here on the earth. And he began to call disciples to follow him. And he said to Peter and John, I want you to follow me. And he said to James and John, I want you to follow me. Well, Peter and Andrew, Matthew, all of them, I want you to follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, if you fished very much, you can't play around on the bank, you know, most of the time and catch many fish. You have to go where the fish are. You have to get out there where the fish are if you want to catch fish. And you know, Jesus, he had in this 5th chapter of Luke, he had told the disciples, you know, they had been fishing. They had fished all night. They come in the morning and they hadn't caught anything. So they were washing their nets and probably cleaning up their boat, you know, getting ready for the next expedition. But Jesus said, launch out into the deep, you know, and let down your net for a draught. And so when they got out there where the fish were, you know, that's the point I'm trying to make, you know. We just sit and wait and hope, you know, somebody will come, you know. Somebody will come. But we have an obligation to go get them, you know. We can't capture them and bring them in. That'd be wrong to do that. And I'm going to give you a verse of scripture to prove that in just a minute. You know, but there are people, I'm sure, that have heard the gospel somewhere. There are people, I'm sure, you know, that are spending some time contemplating, you know, the plan of salvation. You know, how do I know what's right, you know? They're waiting, perhaps, for somebody to show them the way, you know. And that's the part that you and I can play. Now, the Lord has endured His church with power. We have power. We can't save people. We can't heal people. But we, you know, the Lord can. And if we can, as they did in Bible days, they brought the sick and they brought those that were crippled. They brought them to Jesus. And we need to bring people to Jesus. We need to bring them to the house of the Lord. You know, if you have children or grandchildren or brothers or sisters or husbands or wives, you know, we need to be concerned about them. We need to persuade them to come to Jesus and to come to church. Now, you know, you don't have to be in church to get saved. Don't misunderstand me. But I believe it's a good place. It's the place where the gospel is preached, you know, and where the power of the Holy Spirit uses the gospel. The gospel is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, you know. And the Holy Spirit must take the gospel and wield it into the hearts of people so that they'll become convinced and convicted that I am a sinner. I am lost. I'm without God. I need salvation, you know. And if we can get people to come and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus, I believe that God loves them enough that He will make the Word of God effective in their hearts. And they'll be persuaded, you know, to seek the Lord and to get saved while they have the time and the opportunity. I want you to notice, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you know, he said, for though I am free from all men. Now, getting saved is each person's responsibility. I want you to know that. If you don't ever get saved, you don't blame somebody else for it. You know, it's your responsibility to seek the Lord and to call upon Him. It's your responsibility to repent before God, to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. And it's your responsibility to ask Him to forgive you and to save you from your sins. You know, but listen, Paul said, though I'm free from all men, I'm free from all men. It's every man for himself as far as salvation is concerned. I can't even talk you into being saved. Did you know, I think that's one of the dangers of our society and the religious world today, is people talking people into thinking that they're saved when they're not saved at all. I'm telling you that when God saves you, He'll give you an understanding. He'll let you know in your heart that you have passed from death unto life and that you're right in the sight of God. But anyway, he said, I'm free from all men, yet I have made myself servant to all. You say, yeah, but he was a preacher. Oh, well, do you want to be called? I'll pray and ask God to call you to be a preacher. You know, we don't have to be preachers. Have to be workers in the vineyard of the Lord. We can work while we have day, because the night is coming when we cannot work. Now, Jesus said this. I preached on this not long ago. He said to the disciples, he said, he that reapeth receiveth wages. He that reapeth receiveth wages. Do you know anything that's ever brought more joy to your heart than carried a burden for some lost soul, and then they found the Lord, and the Lord lifted their burden, and the Lord lifted your burden? Now, folks, I'm telling you, he that reapeth receiveth wages. There's joy in the camp of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord's our strength. That's what keeps us going, you know. We sit around and we get cold and indifferent, and we don't work, you know, and we don't have any joy. You know, what we need is to get busy for the Lord. And the joy of the Lord will be our strength when the Lord pays us our wages, you know. He not going to pay you. Well, he may. I started to say he wasn't going to pay you in dollars and cents, but he might, you know. You know, he just might think make your life a lot easier, you know, for working for the Lord. He said, I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. You know, there, I said, Bungle, there may be people that's just waiting for somebody to come. You know, I've heard testimonies. Many testimonies where people would say, you know, I was sitting back there in the house and the Lord is dealing with me. And I knew I was lost and I knew I wanted to be saved. But I just didn't have the courage to get up and make a move. And lo and behold, here come a good old mother or a good old father, you know, back. And just took me by the hand, you know, and said, I'm concerned about you. Don't you want to get saved? And that gave me the strength, you know, to make a move. You know, and there may be people that don't even come to church, that they may be considering their eternal welfare, you know, and the Lord may have brought them to your mind, you know. And you may feel like, I ought to say something to them about it. Nah, it wouldn't do no good, you know. And so we dismiss it. I'm telling you, what the Lord leads us to do will do some good. It'll do some good. And the Lord is able to just take the smallest effort that we ever made, you know, and use it for His honor and for His glory. And He said, you've entered into labors. You know, I sent you to reap, He said, to reap, to get the harvest where you bestowed no labor. That's happened to me many times. When I come to Fairview Memorial back in 1982, Brother Russell had been preaching here for 16 years, you know. And the first year we were here, we had a big revival, you know, just a great in-gathering of lost souls. And we did for several years. And you see, I entered into his labors. He had been working, you know, wasn't anything I'd done. But he had been preaching the everlasting gospel, you know. And then I came along and I got to enjoy the results of all of his labors. And it's that way sometimes. You know, we enter into other people's labor and we just reap the benefits, you know, from the work that other people have done. And he said, you know, he that reapeth receiveth wages. I sent you to reap where you have bestowed no labor. Maybe they're almost persuaded. And just a little encouragement, you know, it can sometimes make the difference. Can sometimes make the difference. John chapter 4 and verse 23. I'm about finished, but They came to Jesus bringing the palsied man. It took a little effort on their part. They got there. There was a crowd around there. Could have said, well, they said there's no use trying. And man, we'd never do it. We'd never accomplish anything here. Too many people here. Can't do anything. But you know what? They wasn't discouraged. They would not be denied. They went up on the roof. And they tore up the tile. And they let this guy down through the hole in the roof right in front of Jesus. And you know what? The Bible don't say when they saw his faith. It don't say that. He said when he saw their faith. When he saw their faith. He said to the sick of the palsy, rise, take up your bed and walk. This is a faith journey. It really is. Sometimes we have to put some physical actions into it. But I tell you, the physical won't get the job done. We have to have faith. And this is a spiritual condition that lost men and women have. It is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. They have the problem of sin. Sin must be dealt with, you know, and only God can deal with that. And he does deal with the heart. And the heart is the seat of the issues of life. Everything, you know, we do and everything we say originates in the heart. Out of the heart, you know, men speaketh, you know. And our actions are motivated by our heart's desire, you know. And our heart needs to be changed. And Jesus can change it. And he can make a difference. It is an operation of the Holy Spirit. It's called, you know, the circumcision of the heart. We understand the circumcision of the flesh, you know. But we can't see the circumcision of the heart. But we can see the results of it. And so Jesus wants us to be laborers. And my text said, he that winneth souls is wise. Now, I'm going to close just in a second. But I want to give you one or two other verses of Scripture. In the first chapter of John, verse 41, Jesus was calling these disciples. And we read about Andrew. He heard Jesus speak. He had been saved. He knew the value of being made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he remembered he had a brother, you know. He had a brother. And so first he went and found his brother. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought his brother to Jesus, you know. And then we read about Philip. He had a brother. His name was Nathanael. And so Philip went down to see Nathanael and he said, oh, we found him. We found him. We found the Messiah. We found the Savior. And he brought him to Jesus. And that's what we need today. We need faith. We need faith. We need to have faith enough that we'll believe that if we make an effort to bring our brothers, our sisters, our children, our grandchildren, to the house of the Lord, and where they can meet Jesus, you know, and be exposed to Jesus and to the teachings of Jesus, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, you know. It'll work. So, I want you to know today, I'm asking for your help. I'm asking on the behalf of Jesus. I'm asking on His behalf. Bring your lost people. Bring your friends. Invite your neighbors. Tell them we're having revival. I'd like for you to go with us tomorrow night or whatever night that you can. Let's fill this old sanctuary up. I believe in the power of the gospel. I believe Jesus is ready and willing to save. And if there's ever a time or ever a need for people to be saved, it's now. I don't mean to be a doomsday preacher, but doomsday's coming. Doomsday's coming. We never know when it's going to be for each one of us as individuals. You know, sometime it slips up on us. We say, well, you know, I'm young, I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time. Other things I want to do right now. You have no assurance of that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things will be added unto you. I love you. I want your children to be saved. I want your grandchildren to be saved. I want the whole world to be saved. And I want us to work. I want us to do everything that we can to try to get people to come. And then when we get here, let's be obedient to the Lord. You know, it may just take just a simple handshake. Our arm around somebody's neck. It may just take a few words like, I love you. I'm concerned about you. I want you to be saved. You don't have to badger anybody. I don't like badgering anyway. You know, because that won't do any good. You just show your concern and let the Holy Spirit do the work in their heart. And it'll work. And I'm expecting a good revival. I'm looking forward to working with Brother Froshi again. We've worked together many, many times over the years. And he's a fine preacher. And he's going to do his best, I'm sure. And I'm going to try to do my best. And let's all join forces. And let's rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. And Jesus will save. God bless you. I love you. I'm finished. Anybody have anything you want to